They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thank you very much and welcome into this week's edition of Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor with you. Bob Casper is out this week spending some time with his family, but not to fear, we're going to welcome in America's favorite caddy who is co-hosting with us. We got a lot to talk about. Five in a row. Whoa, Nelly! And Scotty Scheffler continues his sensational run, following up a green jacket with a tartan jacket, winning a signature event for four out of five for him. I mean, he is a six-footer away from five in a row himself. Some pretty impressive stuff. So oftentimes when there's schedules that don't quite line up, we'll do a best of show, and we're going to do a little bit of that coming up on the back nine, hour number two. But just felt with so much going on with Nelly and Scotty and what they were doing, it warranted not having a best of and dedicating the time to their greatness that we've experienced over the last several weeks. Caddy, and then just as we were coming in off of the local show here on our flagship station, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, we were talking about Frankie Kapan III, who opened up the Korn Ferry Tour this week with a 58. So as the caddy so aptly put it, it is the big three. It's Scotty, Nelly, and Frankie right now, which was really clever, by the way. Caddy, what's up, man?
I think they got it wrong. Frankie didn't go to Hollywood. Frankie went to Texas, and he took some names. That's what Frankie did.
I like it. I can at least give you the rim shot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Golf is hard, man. I mean, you want to make the tour? Well, give Frankie a call and ask him how it's going. He just had 58, and he's not on the PGA Tour, by the way.
Oh, man.
Not yet.
They do have the Battlefield promotion with three wins. Do you think there should be a 58 promotion?
I think there should be a signature event 58 promotion. If you shoot 58, you get in the next signature event.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Earn some money.
They just throw you right in.
All right.
Yeah.
The suggestion from the caddy. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get into what Nelly did last week at the Chevron, winning her fifth in a row, exclamation point, with a major. Scotty Scheffler, are you kidding me? He continues to do what he does. Now he's going to enjoy some much-deserved paternity leave as he welcomes his first child to the world. So we got all of that. We'll continue talking a little bit about Frankie as well. We got a good show for you. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. It's brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Check out blackdesertresort.com for all the details on the new Tom Weisskopf Championship Design Golf Course, the resort amenities and the real estate that is available. And of course, you can go to blackdesertevents.com for more details on the upcoming PGA Tour FedEx Fall event this October 10th through the 13th. So Black Desert Resort, blackdesertresort.com for the real estate, blackdesertevents.com for the tour event coming. And then, of course, don't forget, we got LPGA coming a year from next month, which we're really excited about as well. Brian Taylor, Bob's out this week. The caddy is sitting in. So it's Brian and the caddy, BT and the caddy this week, which is super cool. We're excited about that. So caddy, let's start with Nelly and the Chevron Championship. So Nelly Korda goes out there. She's already won four in a row. Now she's playing a major championship. And she keeps herself in contention. Down the back nine on Sunday, she's got a lead. And afterward, you could tell she started to lose it just a little bit. And she said afterwards when she finished, she's like, I can breathe. That was the hardest back nine. She's like, my stomach hurts from the pressure. I love, A, that she admitted that. You could see it. But, pressure's an interesting thing. She's obviously on top of her game. She won the major, her fifth in a row, which is historic. But then to be out there admitting that she couldn't breathe during the whole thing, and we're not going to get into the slow play just yet, but we will touch on that. But how about dealing with that kind of extended pressure with all of that on the line, back nine, Sunday, major championship? Pretty cool stuff.
Yes, the strongest prisons have no fences or locks.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying about pressure.
That's deep.
It's all self-imposed, isn't it? No one can put pressure on you in golf. You can only put pressure on yourself. A defensive lineman can put pressure on a quarterback, but there's none of that in golf. It's all the mental game. And, yeah, you hear Nicklaus talking about it, and he said he would try to look around and have fun and look at the crowd and enjoy being where he was. And I think Jack was the master of that. But it's really interesting to hear Nelly, because you think when you watch someone like Nelly Korda, you think, wow, if I was Nelly and I had that beautiful golf swing and I had won four in a row, how am I going to feel too much pressure coming down the stretch? I'm the person to beat. I'm the top dog. I'm her, right? Isn't it amazing that I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from tour pros. Billy Andrade hadn't won a tour event for years. He's leading Vegas. He's like 6 under for the day on Sunday. He's playing great. He's got 2-shot lead. That fairway on 18 at Summerlin, you can't hit it left. Left is a hazard. It's no good. But you've got 80 yards right to hit it into. And he said he got up on his drive, and he starts juking to the right a little bit, and he looks up, and he sees this fence that's literally 45 yards right of the fairway. It's so far over there, but it's out of bounds. He's played here for 20 years, and he said, I never even realized that fence existed. And I looked at it all of a sudden and said, oh, that's out of bounds. He had to back off and reset himself, and he hit a beautiful drive, and he won the tournament. But it just goes to show you, the tour players are not at all exempt from crazy thoughts going through their heads. Sometimes they might be thinking they're going to chili dip a pitch shot. Sometimes they might be thinking they're going to snap hook one out of bounds. They're just really good at dealing with it, and that's what Nelly did. She dealt with it and got it done.
So Caddy, she was asked afterwards, and that's really well said. She was asked afterwards what was enabling her to do this, and she just said there is a key to the simplicity, in her game. Scottie Scheffler didn't say it that way, but that's pretty much the way Scottie goes about it. I don't even know what it means. It's almost like it's this riddle, but it's one that's like, I want to take whatever she said out to the range and try to find it. And yet she gave us this little riddle, and I don't know. I don't know how to solve it, but there's a key to the simplicity, and I love that.
You can't solve the riddle on the range at all. As you know from your experience in the club championship last summer, until you get in there, Bobby Jones had a great line. He said, tournament golf is nothing like regular golf, and major championship golf is a different game than tournament golf. Mm. Not just different, but a different game. And you experienced your club championship, didn't you? You had feelings that you can't practice them. You can't replicate them. You have to experience them and learn how to deal with them. That's why it takes some guys, most guys, with few exceptions, many failures to succeed. That Michael Jordan will tell. He talks all the time about how much he failed. All the time. He'll tell you he missed 6,000 shots in his career. He'll tell you he missed 27 game-winning shot attempts. Does anybody remember that about Michael Jordan, that he missed 27 game winners? No. Mm. They just remember the one he made in the playoffs or in the championship game, right? You can't practice it. You can't prepare for it. You can't have a mental coach tell you this is going to happen. This is what you do. You just have to experience it and learn how to deal with it. Some people do, some people don't.
In terms of the accomplishment, and again, I don't want to, let me rephrase it. What was more challenging last Sunday? Nelly trying to go 5 in a row and win a major, or Scotty trying to win another one coming off of a major? To me, they're both equally challenging, but for different reasons. I would think it would be real easy for Scotty to have a letdown last week, and he didn't. And I think it would be really difficult that the 5th in a row that you're trying to win happens to be a major, which you just quoted Bobby Jones as being a completely different game.
Well, there's more. You'd have to objectively say much more difficult level of difficulty for Nelly because it's five in a row. Scotty wasn't going for five in a row. So five in a row itself is a big deal. And then it's a major, and Scotty wasn't going for a major. He was going for a big tour event. So much more, it should have been more relaxed for Scotty, and it looks like it was. But again, everything we're talking about is self-imposed stress. Nobody's imposing anything on you. If you were the greatest mental capability person of all time, you could play Nelly's final nine holes like it was a practice round, and she could have walked in and said, I felt no stress at all. That was the easiest thing in the world. Or she could say, what happened? Now, that's all self-imposed. It just is. Nobody's putting that on you. It's just, how do you deal with it? And she successfully dealt with it, but it was difficult. And it's hard. Anybody who's swung a golf club and gone out to play a round of golf has experiences this in little doses or big doses. Maybe you come to a hole, it's real tight, there's condos on either side, and if you hit a bad shot, you're going to break a window or maybe hurt somebody or, you know, whatever. It's going to tighten you up. Well, that's all self-imposed, right? So that's the thing about golf that I used to describe tournament golf as like kicking a field goal on every shot, basically.
Why is that?
I mean, it's all self-imposed pressure.
Oh, I see.
On every, you know, and it's just you. But it's every shot you hit. And some of them, yeah, it's just the mental game's wild. All I can tell you is if you're a golfer who's having a struggle with it, understand that everybody does. The pros get way more nervous and psychoed out than you probably think they do. They're just good at dealing with it. And if you play 25 tournaments a year, of course your mental game's going to be better under pressure because that's all you do. It's normal for Scotty Scheffler to come down the stretch with a chance to win a tournament. He's done it a billion times. He had a 70% win rate as a junior. Let's think about that for a second.
Wow.
That's a strong mental game, right? When you win 70% of your starts as a junior golfer, you got a strong mental game because you know how to win, right? That's what Michelle Wee didn't do because she didn't play a lot of junior golf. She didn't have a strong winning mental game, in my opinion.
Interesting.
In my opinion, yeah. I think Tiger clearly had that. Jordan Spieth had that. You see the young guys who come out and have success right off the bat, like Jordan or Tiger, not surprising. That's all they've ever done in their life is win. That's all they've ever done. Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't Tiger come out of Milwaukee and tell Curtis, I expect to win? It's realistic. That's all he's ever done at every level.
He's been programmed, right? For it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's used. That's normal for him. It's normal, right? Scotty, it took a little longer to, you know, but Scotty was a very good college player, great junior player. He won the U.S. Junior, for example. Zalatoris, same way. Zalatoris was a great junior and a great college player. It just doesn't come out of nowhere, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. Hey, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott Michaud is going to join us. He's with the Global Golf Post and the Daily Drive. He wrote a great article on Nelly and Scotty and what's going on right now and why you should be tuning in. And then when we come back, I want to get the caddy's take on some of the things he mentioned, including why the ratings are down and how difficult it is for Scotty to compare himself from a showmanship standpoint to how Tiger Woods went about his winning back in the day. We'll do it all as we continue. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and welcoming in a good friend of ours. We reconnected with every year at Augusta National for the Masters Tournament. He's a local guy there, but of course he covers the Masters for the country of Ireland, right? I mean, that's what I like to give him a bad time about. But he's with the Global Golf Post. He also writes for the all-new Daily Drive, which hits my inbox and always intrigues me. And when I saw his article about Scotty and Nelly, it was so well written. I was like, you know what? Let's get Scott Michaud back on the show. Scott, how are you, man?
I'm great. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. So how's everything in Ireland? That's the first point of interest.
My understanding is it's raining, so I prefer the Georgia Bureau.
That's a good guess, pretty much 90% of the time, right?
So they've had a rough year.
Yeah, exactly. But you wrote for the Augusta Chronicle for a long, long time. And how many Masters have you now covered?
I believe this was 28 this year. Wow. I started in 97 with Tiger.
And I've
done every one since. Yeah, it was. It was a very, very promising beginning.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we used to occupy that old, in the old press building there, that back row. We sort of flanked the entrance to the media dining. And that was, I kind of, in some ways, I kind of missed a little bit of the charm of the old building. But the new one is, wow. I don't even know what to say anymore about that place. It's unreal.
It's hard to complain about the new building, but I, like you, I do miss the charm of the old place, and I love being the gatekeeper to the to the food and the Krispy Kreme donuts.
We were the first in. We knew when the light was on, right, as they say. So, hey, your article that you wrote recently about both Scotty and Nelly, this is pretty cool stuff. And you just mentioned coming in and starting to cover the Masters when Tiger Woods, you know, won in 1997 and what that did for the game of golf. It's unreal. I mean, we were a couple years later starting Real Golf Radio in 1999, and it was just, you know, Tiger mania. I don't know that it's Scotty mania just yet, but I don't recall world number ones in both the men's and women's games doing what they're doing right now, except for maybe Tiger and Annika back in the day. What is just kind of how big is what Scotty and Nelly are doing right now? How big is that for the game?
You know, I wish it was seen as bigger. You know, by the people right now, because the weird place that golf is in, a lot of people are tuning out a little bit and they're not paying as close attention to what is an extraordinary story going on between the two of them. I mean, Scotty is playing golf that Tiger Woods used to play. He doesn't do it with the same flair and charisma that Tiger did, which may be why people aren't, you know, as drawn to him as everybody was Tiger when he came out. And Tiger's a once in a lifetime kind of character in any sport. But Scotty's golf is second to none. I mean, it's extraordinary what he's doing on the golf course right now. And Nelly, her consistency on the LPGA Tour is unbelievable. I mean, that's only happened twice before that people have won five in a row, and they happen to be all-time Hall of Famers, Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. I'm kind of glad she took a week off to sort of maybe get down off the high of winning the Chevron Championship last week to see if she can get six in a row the next time, because I think she would have been totally burned out if she tried to play again this week in LA.
No doubt about it. Scott Michaud joining me here on Real Golf Radio. You actually opened up your story with, please pick up the remote and turn golf back on. You recognized in that first paragraph that the golf fans might be upset, disillusioned, frustrated, or whatever with the current narrative. How big of an impact is that right now, do you think, on golf fans? I mean, considering the Masters ratings were down. Now, I'm also trying, this is a two-part of this, and I get accused of asking long questions, so sorry about that. But I think some people are digesting media differently. Maybe, were those ratings consistent with just CBS, or did that also take into what people were consuming over Masters.com and their app?
It clearly doesn't take into account that, and I don't think the Masters delivers those kind of numbers. And I bet they're enormous. I mean, if you had to ask me, I would say that more people consumed parts of this Masters visually by a video or streaming or something than have ever done before, because that app is amazing. But the TV numbers, the broadcast numbers are down. And I think a lot of that has to do with sort of this anger over what's going on at the top of the men's professional game right now. Between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and so much talk about money, it turns some people off. But the golf itself, I wish people would turn that back on, because it's been extraordinary.
Yeah. Do you think there's any case to be made that it's diluted, that the product on the PGA Tour is diluted given the number of players that have gone to LIV?
A little bit, but you know, that wasn't the case at the Masters. I mean, you had all the people that needed to be at the Masters were at the Masters. I know some Lib people will, you know, quibble over a Taylor Gooch. But last I checked, Taylor Gooch didn't make any of the previous majors any more interesting when he got in them. So I really don't think there was anybody not there that didn't need to be there, and it was still the Masters. So the fact that those numbers were down on CBS is telling, it's revealing. But, you know, I don't think it's diluted to the point of it not being watchable. And I really don't think it'll have a great impact in the future, because so many new stars like Ludwig Aubert and these guys are coming up that, you know, there's always a replacement.
There always is. And that's the thing. I remember when Jon Rahm announced, I was like, this is huge. Oh my gosh. I can't believe Jon Rahm is leaving the PGA Tour. This is massive. And then I had a couple of guys ask me the other day, hey, what's Jon Rahm been up to? Has he been playing any good? You know, our attention span is so short now with Twitter and all of the social media, the instant gratification and all of that kind of thing. The real risk of leaving to go to Live Tour, for instance, at least at this point in time, given that nobody's really watching that, is that they kind of fall into obscurity. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not good players anymore. That doesn't mean that there couldn't be a good product eventually on that side. It just is right now, it's how quickly people are forgotten is remarkable.
It really is. I mean, some of those pictures that they had of Jon Rahm playing, I know it was in Saudi Arabia earlier this year, and they don't have many people show up there. It's not like this week where they're going to have tons of people in Australia, a different animal. But watching Jon Rahm hit into greens with not a single person around it, it seems sad to me. Yeah. Because I'm like, man, this guy's talent is being wasted in that market, you know, because nobody's watching. But then again, maybe this week he'll be, you know, his enthusiasm will be lifted by the amount of people who are going to show up in Adelaide, South Australia, because, you know, they embrace it down there. And maybe that'll sort of spark his interest again, because it looked like his interest was fading a little bit.
I had a conversation, which I love to do, underneath the tree there at Augusta. It's one of my favorite parts of being there. And it was with a credible source who said that Jon Rahm's comment about the Live Tour, which he would never do on record, is that it just feels like dead air, that there's not a purpose, that it's as if you're beating a drum and there's no sound coming out. I thought that was really, really interesting to hear that. If that is in fact true, that kind of plays into the idea that it's a bit of a letdown, that there is this, these players are, not only are they good players and they want to get paid for it, but they also want some recognition, especially those in their prime. And you don't get that just yet over there at Live Golf.
No, you certainly don't. And that's why I do hope that there's some kind of arrangement made that we can get those guys in more meaningful tournaments, because the Live tournaments haven't proven to be meaningful yet. Maybe one day they will be. You know, and they make some tweaks to things, and Rahm certainly seems open to trying to get them to change some of the things they do. He's already talking about going to 72 holes and things like that, and really encouraging it right in front of Greg Norman. So I think getting those guys back in the what we would call the normal golf ecosystem is kind of important, because I do feel like they can sort of fall off the map when they're playing in a vacuum at Live.
Scott Michaud joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Let me get back to your article here on the Daily Drive. This paragraph was so good that you wrote, by the way. The only thing that was, you're talking about Scottie Scheffler, the only thing that Woods had on Scheffler was the showmanship. Woods was all fist pumps and howls and attitude when he trampled his peers. He wore red and black every Sunday like it was his Marvel uniform that conveyed superpowers to his challengers. He exerted his will on the golf course, and his outsized stardom drew all the oxygen. You went on, and it was so good. Let's see, this next line here, dramatic shots that left tongues wagging and rivals dragging. Brilliant. I was like, literally, like, I got to call Scott. That is so good. So, and then you followed up with Scotty isn't really any of that yet. How big or how important is it? I mean, if Scotty's going around playing the same kind of golf as Tiger, but without the showmanship, is that how, I guess, I don't know how to measure that, but is that a big deal, do you think, to most golf fans or many golf fans?
Well, I mean, it certainly plays out in the ratings. I mean, Scotty's a popular guy. I mean, people like him. There's nothing not to like about Scotty Scheffler, but he's not the personality that Tiger is, and not many people are. And golf only has a few of those guys that come every now and then. You know, Rory seems to have a certain magnetism about him. Rom has a magnetism about him. Scotty's not a magnetic personality. He, like Ricky Fowler in a way, he's a little bit vanilla, but his golf game is not. His golf game is extraordinary, and I think it's fun to watch him swing the ball because I love watching his feet move like that, and I can't believe it works. You know, that somebody along the way didn't say, hey, you can't do that. You know, that'll never work, you know, at the highest level. Well, guess what? It works better than anybody else's works at the highest level. You know, he's taken out one side of a golf course with the way he moves his feet like that. He doesn't make big mistakes. And you know, maybe if he takes more chances and hits more daring shots like Tiger would do at times, it would, you know, amp up his recognition factor, but it's just not who he is. And, you know, you're just going to have to appreciate the excellence of his game.
And you mentioned the same thing about Nelly Korda, how she sings a similar tune. And her quote, and I loved this too, I listened to her interview and you quoted this in your article, "I think there's a key in the simplicity that I have when I play." I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know how to take that to the range and find that and make my game better. But there is something that resonated when she said there is a key in the simplicity. And maybe that's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for see ball, hit ball, and not going all Padre Harrington on the world and trying to change everything, every swing. You know, these two, they believe in what they're doing when they step up to the golf ball, and that works. Whereas you got guys right now who clearly aren't believing in what they do every time they step up to a golf ball, and it doesn't work. And so... Simplicity, man, I wish I had that in my game.
Yeah, don't we all? And you went on to point out that Scheffler leads the PGA Tour in 30 statistical categories, a figure we can't perfectly compare to Woods in 2000 before ShotLink, but is kind of right up there with what Tiger did. So kind of in summary here, we've got Nelly, we got Korda, we got Scotty. They're both playing at an extremely high level, dominating both of their tours. So regardless of all the other noise that's going on, this is a great time to tune in and watch golf.
It really is. It really is. And I can't wait till, you know, still Scotty gets back from his paternity leave here and hope it's in time for the PGA Championship. And I want to see if Nelly can do it again. I mean, man, six. That would be incredible.
That would be unreal. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time. Great work there on Daily Drive and, of course, Global Golf Post. We appreciate it. It's good to check in with you and see you at Augusta as well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Brian. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Scott Michaud joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Stay tuned. More of the show next.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back to the show, Brian Taylor. Bob Casper's out this week, so America's favorite caddy has been sitting in and filling in for Bob and doing a great job. And you know what? It is the Zurich Classic this week, and so they all have their walk-up music, their theme music, and it's only right that we give the caddy his.
There are bag rats, and then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
We can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper.
Here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Because it's a pretty dang good walk-up song right there. I mean, it just gets the juices flowing, right, caddy?
Yeah, that's a tough one to match. I think there's some other good ones, though. Like, you know, my milkshake's a good one, and my... Take on me, I think, is the best one because the crowd all tries to sing it, and it's just a debacle. So,
okay.
When they hit those high notes, you know. But, yeah, the walk-up song's cool. I like the walk-up song.
Enter Sandman was the best, right, for Mariano Rivera when he would come in as the closer.
I believe that's what Patrick Reed used for his now.
Really? Okay. All right.
Somebody had to go there, right? I mean, you know,
Oh, that was a good one. You caught me off guard on that one.
Well, you know, we have a repertoire.
Oh, man. I talked to a guy that was hanging out with us, Mark Melanson. Many of you guys know him. He pitched in the major leagues for like 16 years. His first call-up, he told the story, shared the story. It was unreal. His first call-up, he gets the call, and he's playing triple. He's warming up, and they're like, we need you up right now. And he's going to Fenway to play with the Yankees. That's his first call-up. So he gets this plane, and he doesn't have an – he just has to take a regular flight, and he's in some little town. I don't remember where. So he finally – it was this whole story about how they got on the plane, that he and his wife, they finally get up there. They get to the ballpark. I mean, it's already like game started or something. They take him in, and Rivera's sitting there, and he's like, let's go. We got to get ready. We need to be out there. He's like – you can imagine. He's like deer in the headlights, right? And Rivera's telling him to hurry up. So they – in between innings, he finally gets all dressed, gets his uni on, and then they go jogging – through Fenway out to the bullpen, and you know, he didn't pitch that game, but just the whole idea of that. I mean, that's so cool. So cool.
Oh, just that would be the most amazing thing. The pinstripes jogging to the bullpen in Fenway. Wow.
That's that, too good. How's that a welcome to the major league moment?
Welcome to the majors. Yeah. At least you don't have Clemens throwing at your head, right?
Right. So, yeah, good point.
But I just thought I got the best walk-up I've ever seen. The best walk-up was when they had, I don't even know the guy's name, but it's the dude who played the trumpet song live during the game as a walk-up for the reliever coming in. That was the best one. If you haven't seen it, you got to look for it. I think it's Timmy the Trumpet or something. Anyway. That's the cool walk-up one.
That's the one. All right.
Yeah, that's the hands-down winner. Yeah. Okay. But anyway.
All right. I like it.
We got a lot to talk about here. Yeah. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, we do. So Scott Michaud was just on there, and you didn't have the benefit of listening because I recorded that before you came on. But one of the things that he talked about in his article in the Daily Drive was the what Scotty's doing right now and the numbers that he's throwing up, but he's just not – doesn't have that same flair – that Tiger Woods has. And it's interesting because he the language that he used was so good, so well written. I don't know if you could ever be the showman of Tiger. I don't know if you could ever quite do it the way he did it. And nobody really ever has. I mean, Arnold had his kind of swagger. And he's the one. I mean, when you think of swagger and that kind of showmanship on the golf course, is there really anybody other than Palmer and Tiger? I mean, I know other people have their deal, but those were the two, weren't they?
Chi-Chi?
Yeah, it's a little, I guess, but different.
Here's the thing, right? I bet you the first time Chi-Chi did the sword, he just did it and didn't really think about it, right? He probably just did it, and then he's like, oh, I got a shtick. Let's keep it up. So my player asked Tiger one time. He said, he was paired with him in the final round of a major. And he said to Tiger, tongue in cheek in the locker room, he goes, you pull any of that fist pump stuff on me, I'm bringing it right back at you. You know, and Tiger got the biggest kick out of that. But then he asked him, he said, hey, do you like practice this stuff? You plan it, whatever. And Tiger goes, I've never thought about it. It just happens. It just happens in the moment. Never think about it.
That's the difference. That's the difference between Chi-Chi's was a shtick, and that's what I was going to actually say before you said it, is it felt like a shtick. Tiger just, and Palmer too, I think that was just kind of his, he just had the flair for the dramatic. This is what Scott Michaud said in his article on Daily Drive. He said, he exerted his will on the golf course and his outsized stardom drew all the oxygen. His confidence and skill was such that he always seemed to be able to reach a little deeper at certain moments to pull off dramatic shots that left tongues wagging and rivals dragging. I thought that was really amazing. That was great writing.
Well, how about Sebi for doing some of that stuff?
Okay.
Sebi was good at it.
Good point. Right? Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really good at it. No, it's great. I mean, you watch Tiger, it's awesome for the crowd, for the player to react like that. Even someone who's really much more low key on it, but like let's look at who's the coolest golfer in the history of the planet. Mm. And he has the coolest little reactions is Fred Couples. I mean, think about it, right? He doesn't react a whole lot, but it's like subtle stuff, but it's Freddie, so it's like the coolest thing you've ever seen. And then Jack lifting the putter with his left hand, that was his signature thing, right? Like he did when he made the yes sir putt on 17. The way he would lift the putter with his left hand. So that was Jack's move. And I bet if you ask Jack, he never even real, you know, he didn't do it on purpose. He just did it. It's just his way of doing it, right? So different guys have different things, but it's cool to have the emotions. I'm pretty sure Ben Hogan wasn't doing any of that. That was Hogan. He wasn't celebrating anything. He was probably just, you couldn't even tell. Something just happened. So Scotty is, he doesn't have those emotional reactions to a putt going in or this or that. That's just Scotty.
So Scotty's the Walter Payton.
Well, look. Because
Sweetness just went in and dropped the ball. I mean, that was it.
I mean, yeah. Well, Scott, yeah, I mean, you can use that old coach's line of when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before.
Right.
Right. And that's, well, okay. It's, Scotty's obviously a genuinely pretty humble guy. I mean, he knows he's good. I'm sure he's got tons of confidence, but he's not, you know, look, Tiger, I would not describe Tiger as, you know, would you say he's humble? Well, not, Tiger wasn't in your face, I'm the best, I'm this or that. You ever hear Tiger say, I'm the best?
No,
ever?
No.
One time?
No.
No. He never said that, did he? Tiger never went there in that way. Tiger just said, you know, I want to win or second stinks or whatever. He wasn't like the ego guy sticking it out there and throwing the gauntlet down. He just kind of, it was just matter of fact, this is how I think and this is what I'm out here to win and that's it. And so, in a way, he never was like, you know, patting himself on the back like, oh, I'm the guy to beat. I'm the top dog. Nobody's going to touch me. He never did any trash talking like that, right? He might do some fun trash talking just to mess with somebody like the guys do. But, yeah, I mean, Scotty's just, you know, he's a very humble guy. It's just his personality, so.
And yet, at the same time, he did say it several times in Masters interviews that when I was there a couple weeks ago, I hate losing. I want to win so bad, and I hate to lose. That, and I think that's something that the best share. You have to have that, right? I mean, you have to have that mentality.
Okay, so I'm not aware of any professional golfer, of the hundreds I've been around, who doesn't hate to lose. Tell me who, I'm cool with losing.
No, but everybody, I think a lot of people accept the fact that I'm gonna top 20 and they're gonna pay me a lot of money for this and it's a good gig. I mean, there's a lot of
guys I disagree with the whole mindset that that's special thinking at all. Mm. I don't think that separates you. I don't think that's the reason to any degree why somebody's good is because they just I refuse to lose. Well, you can refuse to lose and get beat if you're not really good. I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
I don't know. In Moneyball, Billy Beane said he hates losing more than he likes winning, and there's a difference.
I mean, everybody hates to lose. When I caddied and a guy finished second by a shot, it's a terrible feeling when you lose by one shot. That's worse than losing by two shots. Much worse. Because you feel like that one shot, you can go to the 847 different examples, even though you only hit 264 shots, of where you could have made a difference. It's terrible to lose by one shot. It's a terrible feeling. It really is.
Hey, Caddy,
It feels better to finish fifth by three than it does to lose by one.
Mm.
No question.
Mm, I love that.
Or it doesn't feel as, let me put it this way, it doesn't feel as bad. You can feel better about finishing sixth than losing by one and finishing second. No question. It's terrible. It's terrible. That's a bad thing. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like a bittersweet feeling. almost, because you played well, you did well. You're appreciating that, but it's especially probably if you don't win a whole ton, it's worse because you only have so many tries at it. So it's probably even worse if you never have a shot at winning. So I think everybody hates losing. I don't think that as to me, if Scotty goes, I just hate losing, I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I hate it when I'm getting in the hit on the head by hail when I walk outside. That's the statement anybody would make. Who doesn't hate losing? Sorry, I'm on a little bit of a roll here.
Scotty Scheffler has twice as many wins this season, 4, as rounds of even par, 2. He has 0 rounds over par. That's from Justin Ray on his Twitter feed, which Justin is. It's another Justin gem, but he's playing that kind of golf. Caddy, he's playing that well right now. Can Scotty Scheffler can he carry the tour right now that is struggling a little bit? TV ratings are down. There's a lot of discord between, you know, the LIV and the PGA Tour, and it's wearing some fans out. Do you think that Scotty Scheffler can kind of carry that load?
I didn't realize that it was a problem that ratings are down. Isn't streaming way up? Aren't more people watching golf now than have ever watched it before?
It's harder to quantify, but I think you're right, especially come the Masters. And that's what we heard from Scott Michaud in the last segment, that he would believe, you know, Augusta would never share those ratings, but there were more people that watched the Masters this year than ever before.
Yeah, I think that's it's easy for people to, oh, look, the ratings are down on TV. Well, I don't even watch TV anymore. I'm watching YouTube or something on my phone. I hardly ever watch TV. So, and I'm old. So I'm more prone to watch TV than most people watching anything now. So I disagree with that whole rating thing. It's not my business. I don't know anything about it. But if you don't think less people are watching TV and watching something else instead, watching the golf a different way, then you probably aren't paying attention to all the ways to watch golf now that didn't exist 2 years ago.
I like it. He's America's favorite caddy, sitting in for Bob, who's out of town this week. I'm Brian Taylor. Stay tuned. More coming up on the back nine. We got some best of for you. Stay tuned. Thanks to the caddy for coming by. We'll see you on the other side. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.